Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I am a sex journalist and blogger. I write about sex and kink and relationships and self-improvement for various publications. You may have heard of some of them. Maisonneuve, Horizons, ExoJane. I'm bragging a whole bunch. I also write for my blog, which is called Girly Juice, and I like having dicks inside my various orifices. Who are you?
I am Bex and can follow up with none of that. Well, the last one. I'm a sex educator and a blogger, a non-binary queerdo pup, and a Hufflepuff. I love video games, ice cream, and leather.
Cool.
And also dicks in my various holes.
Yes. Cram them in there. Never stop the gravy train of dicks. One of the insults that's often thrown at people who are queer or who have sex in non-traditional ways is that the sex that we have, quote, goes against nature or is unnatural in some sense. But today we're talking about what is arguably the most natural of sex acts, according to these sort of antiquated definitions. It's the PIV. It's the PIV. And to define this term, since we're going to be using it a whole lot, and sometimes when I say PIV, people look at me as if I'm an alien. PIV stands for...
Well, because it's just sex, right?
Right. It's just fucking sex. Like, why else would you
this
use it?
This is just sex.
Right. PIV is a term for penis and vagina, i.e. classic intercourse. It is the vanilla ice cream of sex acts, if you will. It's sex 101. It is the basics. It is what a lot of heteronormative folks think of when you say the word sex.
And it is the last sex act we thought of in our little mini-series on sex acts here.
Yeah.
We were like, oh shit, dicks and holes. Fuck.
Yeah, we're like, blowjobs, I guess cunnilingus, definitely finger fucking, and like, PIV maybe? If we have to,
yeah.
I mean, if we might as well, I guess, if you're going to make us talk about it. A magazine editor friend of mine recently asked me to pitch her a story about sexual culture in Canada, and I sent her a bunch of pitches, and the one that she chose and wanted me to write was this pitch I sent about how PIV isn't really a thing anymore. And people have told me while I was working on that piece, they were like, so what are you working on? I was like, oh, I'm writing this piece about how nobody really likes PIV. And there were a few people who would be like, where are you getting your information? Like, where did you hear that from? But it's just, like, I wrote it because it's been my honest experience, is that, like, I'm not that jazzed on PIV anymore, and probably upwards of half of the dudes I've slept with in the past year have told me that they're just not that enthused about PIV. Like, what are your thoughts about it, Bex?
I thought that was a really interesting piece that you were writing, because that hasn't super been my experience either.
Mm-hmm.
But also I'm not having, well, that's a lie, I am having sex in Canada.
It's better than sex in America, I'm just gonna say. Something about the proximity of the poles, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh shit, I just remembered a bunch of people I had forgotten I had sex with.
My life. I have to keep a list.
Terrible.
I keep a list on my desk of everybody I've boned, because I refer to it constantly and I never remember. Like, there's like two or three people who I always forget when I make a mental inventory. And then I feel so rude. So I'm like, how could I forget you? We shared this beautiful evening together.
Yeah, see, well, because I'm sitting here and I just said, I was like, that hasn't really been my experience. And then I was like, wait, is that true? Allow me to go back through the sex I've had. What kind of, when have I had sex? Has that happened? Ever?
Is sex a thing in my life?
What is that?
So can I just want to, like, quickly outline, because, like, there were so many people who were like, what are you talking about? PIV isn't a thing anymore. So my reasoning, like, I think that the main reason that I've heard most often is from dudes saying that they can't get into sex while wearing a condom because they just don't have enough sensitivity, that it's, like, it's almost to the point where they feel like they might as well not have sex rather than have sex with a condom, which is, like, ugh, I roll my eyes at that, because it's like, condoms are important. Safer sex is very important.
And, like, I find it hard to believe that absolutely no condom ever works for most of these people. Like,
yeah.
Did they just go buy, like, the Trojan ENZ, like, light blue box and go, these are awful, condoms are awful. The end. Conclusion made. And ignore the fact that there's an entire, like, aisle. There's sizes. There are sizes. There are different types of latex. There's non-latex.
Yeah. To be a bit, like, service journalism-y for a second, if you are a person with a penis who's had sensitivity issues with PIV, I've heard really good things from dude partners about kimono, ultra-thin condoms, and Crown condoms, which are both Japanese-made brands. And the deal with the Japanese condom market is that they have very stringent standards for condom safety. So they have to be, like, really, really strong, but they're also made really thin. So it's like...
I like Crown a lot, yeah, personally. Also because they're made with Shearlon latex, which tastes less latexy if you're using it for blowjobs.
Yeah, and there's not, like, an intense latexy smell to it.
Yeah.
And I also like that they're pink. I'm just a fan. Like, the packaging is blue, and then the condom itself is pink. That's really cute.
The same company also makes Beyond 7 Ultra Thins, mm-hmm, which are blue, and they're just a slightly different size. Mm-hmm. But they're very similar to the Crowns. I've also heard really good things about Akimoto 004s, mm-hmm, but they're expensive.
And then the other thing
super thin
that I hear a lot is that if you put, like, a drop of lube inside the condom, that can help a lot with sensitivity.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have firsthand experience with a partner who's done that, but I have heard that a lot. So in the article I wrote about sensitivity issues, but I also wrote about how, like, I feel like millennials are a generation of people who really, really super don't want to get pregnant. For a lot of reasons, yeah. Like, we're less focused on the idea of procreation than a lot of previous generations have been. A lot of us have, like, consciously chosen that we're not gonna have kids, or that's just not on our radar right now, or we're in an economic or employment related situation that it's just like, if we were to get pregnant, it would be disastrous. So I can totally understand why you would want to avoid a sex act that is the likeliest one to get you pregnant. And I know some people who get super anxious about the idea of getting pregnant, so they avoid PIV on that basis. And certainly there have been times in my life when I've done that. But I also think one of the things I wrote in my article was about, like, the sexual revolution and feminism and how it taught us that, you know, women's pleasure matters. And, like, we deserve orgasms. Wait, really? Too. And PIV is, like, there are obviously workarounds to this, but traditionally it is an act that pleases the penis more so than the vagina, given that the majority of folks with vaginas need clit stimulation in order to get off. So I feel like a lot of folks of all genders are kind of learning that information and are going, okay, like, what are our other options here? Like, what else is going to make everyone feel sexually satisfied as opposed to just the person with the penis? Which is not to say the PIV can't be great if you have a vagina. It can be fucking fantastic. But I just think it's not always the likeliest thing to get you off.
Okay. No, yeah, I think that's really true. And I think for a lot of people, that's super accurate. I know for me, my sex life has involved a lot of PIV, and I think it's interesting that I have very different reactions to it depending on the person I'm hooking up with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there have been a couple different times where sex has consisted almost exclusively of PIV, and I have kind of the reaction everyone expects you to have to that, with, like, you know, ugh, we're, like, I'm not getting off from this, you know, pay more attention to me, my pleasure, blah, 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 that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been other times where, like, I have gotten off from just PIV and, like, no clit stim or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been times where, like, a lot of times I really like it, especially because a lot of my pleasure is focused on my G-spot, and I like a lot of G-spot sensation more than I like clit stimulation for the most part. Mm-hmm. So, depending on who I'm having sex with and how we're having sex, if I'm getting a lot of G-spot play, like, that's worth it. And if it's just a hookup, like, I like girthier toys and, like, I like a lot of penetration and I like a feeling of fullness. And if someone's fingering me and I don't want to be like, more, no, 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 no more, though. But, like, have you considered your hand? PIV is a good way to get that feeling of fullness as well, depending upon the person and how our bodies line up and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But to get more intense internal stimulation. That said, if there's someone who's really, just really good at fingering, I don't necessarily need more fullness, you know, if they're, like, good with precision and G-spotting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how, like, you are so G-spot-centric, and, like, that was kind of how you first learned to do things, and I was the opposite. Mm-hmm. I started from clit stuff, and it took me a while to sort of, like, train my G-spot to be able to feel things. And actually, like, the first time that I ever had PIV, which was in 2011, I
love that you know that.
Of course. You gotta know that. Sex stats. It was weird because, like, I definitely conceptualized it as, like, a big deal. Like, it felt like a virginity loss, even though I had had other kinds of sex before, and that's a whole, you know, heteronormative patriarchal bullshit thing. But, some part of me just thought for some reason that PIV would be this magical thing that would just be amazingly pleasurable and intimate and fantastic, even though I knew at the time that I was way more about clit stim. And when I had PIV for the first time with this partner of mine who was, like, a long-term, like, romantic, serious partner, the fact that it felt like almost nothing to me was really distressing and upsetting to me. Like, I felt really let down by it, and I felt like there was something wrong with me and I hadn't done it right, or I was letting my partner down in some sense. So I have this, like, very distinct memory of, like, we finished fucking and we were lying there cuddling, and I was like, I'm sorry, I have to go journal about this because I'm having a lot of feelings and I don't feel like I can talk to you about them. So I just have to go process real quick. And my partner was so great.
I adore you.
He was really great about it. I had this, like, big rocking chair by my window, and there was just, like, this street light dramatically coming in through the window, and I sat in this rocking chair and just sat and journaled while my partner fell asleep and processed some shit. And, and it was interesting because, like, that first time I really didn't feel hardly anything. It felt like very much something I was doing for his pleasure, but as I sort of started pairing G-spot stim with clit stim over time and learning how to do that, my G-spot kind of woke up. And there are times now where I can get penetrated and it feels good on its own. And, like, I don't get off from that, but it's a sex act that can stand on its own for me now, finally.
Yeah, see, the first time I had PIV, I remember, for a while leading up to that, my partner had already had PIV for years before he met me, and, like, for a while leading up to that, I was like, I want to try the thing, and he was like, I don't think you're ready, and I was like, oh, I suppose I am not ready.
Patience, young grasshopper.
Thank you. Yeah, like, it was like, he very much was like, this is a big deal, this is virginity, and I was like, nah, but, like, put your dick in me, though.
Mm-hmm.
And when we actually did do it, I remember, because you're all told, like, it's supposed to hurt. It's going to be, you know, the hymen's going to break and, I don't know, shatter into a million pieces or however that works.
Oh, no.
And, like, ah! And, like, that it's going to hurt and you're going to overcome it and whatever. And it didn't hurt at all, which broke my little masochist heart.
Where's the pain? Give me the pain. God damn it. I was promised pain.
Because I so did not identify as a masochist at the time, and I was like, oh, it didn't hurt. And, like, I think my partner was like, oh, good. And I was like, I mean, I suppose.
If you say so.
Right. That's supposed to be the bad part, I guess. Right. But, yeah, and I remember not really using lube and not really having a ton of warm-up, so having, like, a really hard time just making it work at first. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think my most distinctive thing was, like, well, it didn't hurt or anything. This is not what I was promised.
Yeah, I don't and think... Then, mine didn't really hurt at all either, but it was just, like, a total absence of sensation, which was, like, I was expecting the possibility of a lot of different things, but I was not expecting to feel basically nothing. And that was really jarring.
That's really interesting, because I definitely felt it and enjoyed it well enough. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, for a while after that, because I was having sex for a while before I kind of came for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I remember for a while, I would just have sex and be like, I had a scale of, I would be like, on a scale of 1 to 10 of how turned on I am just on a 7 forever.
I'm a perma 7. Like,
always, yeah. And because, like, we would have sex and I'd be like, well, that was great, can we keep doing, can that happen forever? Can we... No, but this is new and fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then, like, gradually I figured out orgasms and stuff, and now I can come from just PIV. Mm-hmm. Like, the last time I did, it was like... The last time I had sex, I had someone was... They had me bent over and was fucking me, and I was like, huh... I suppose I should touch my clit if I want to come. Nope, it's just going to happen anyway. Cool. Good. Great. Like, I had this moment where I was like, oh, right, that is how I'm supposed to get myself off, huh? And then I was like, nah, we're good. We got this.
That's so funny. I'm really jealous. With my first, like, serious cis male partner, who was the first person I had PIV with, I was very ambitious, and I had, like, a list of sexual goals, which is still a thing that I do.
Me too!
Yeah, and so I had all these goals, and we had, like, sort of a meeting slash discussion where we aired our goals, and I had all these things, like, I want to have sex in an alley and on top of a grand piano and all these things. And I asked him, I was like, what are your goals? And he was like, I only have one. I want you to come while I'm inside you. And I was like, oh, the ultimate challenge. And because I just, like, was not that into PIV at the time. And so we started researching all these different ways. Like, there's this thing called the coital alignment technique, which is, like, a particular way of fucking someone that's supposed to stimulate their clit. And there's, like, all these different things. Like, we researched the A-spot, which was not a thing that I knew about at the time, and stuff like that. But eventually I was like, I think I just have to touch my clit while you're fucking me, which is, like, it's hilarious to me
I
now.
I love how that was a, like, revolutionary idea.
Yeah, I was like, I guess I'll think. Do that. I really didn't want to do that, though, because it just felt so extra. Like, it felt, like, excessive and, like, it would be inconvenient or annoying or get in the way, which is, like, ridiculous, because I do that, like, almost every time I get fucked now. It's weird to think about that there was a time when I didn't want to do that. But yeah. I remember it so distinctly. He was fucking me. He was standing beside the edge of the bed, and I was, like, lying on the bed with my legs hanging off the bed. And I had, I think, a vibe, or that's maybe so just my good fingers on my clit. And I remember that I had to really focus on, like, tuning out the sensation of his dick, because I was really trying to focus on my clit, which is so funny now, because, like, they all, for me now, they all kind of add into each other and amplify each other. Mm-hmm. But at that time, I really, like, I was so used to clit sim, I had to really focus on my clit and, like, just sort of pretend that I wasn't being fucked. And I came, and my eyes flew open, and I was like, we did it! And we cheered and high-fived, and then he kept fucking me. And it was great.
That's excellent.
I was so proud of this.
That is so good.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like all the best sex involves high fives.
Totally.
Did our threesome have high fives?
Oh, I'm
our
sure.
Our threesome had high fives.
Certainly it must have. I can't imagine that it didn't.
Yeah. It sounds like us.
Okay, so do you have, like, a favorite PIV position, since that's what, you know, Cosmo and everybody wants to know about, is the positions?
I don't know. See, like, you talked about having a checklist. Part of my list was, like, I suppose I'll get one of those position books and try all of them, because that is how you do different things, uh-huh. right? And, like, I remember talking to my partner at the time and being like, so should we, like, try all the, all different positions and stuff? And he was like, I don't know. I mean, we've done, like, I think we've done all of them. It's like, basically, we've covered it. I bent you over a few times, and, like, that's it. We covered it. We've got it.
I mean, there's so many options, but I just feel like there's a few basic ones that are just fail-safes, that they're classics for a reason, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I do like you were talking about being, like, right on the edge of the bed while someone else stands. Mm-hmm. I like that position a lot because it gives room for, like, a vibe on your clit or something if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives, like, the leverage for really deep thrusting,
mm-hmm.
while at the same time you can see the person.
Right.
Because, like, I also like getting bent over or whatever because it has that leverage for a lot of thrusting and the room for the clit, but I can't see the person, so I need them to, like, say filthy shit to me. so that I remember that they're still there.
Yeah.
And feel like, I feel so disconnected if they're quiet back there. It's like, are you texting? Are you paying attention? What's going on back there?
Yeah.
Turn around, they're reading fucking Harry Potter or something, like...
I mean, you can't fault someone for reading Harry Potter. It doesn't matter what the situation
is. I can if they're not reading it out loud. Share in the experience. Do you want me to come or not?
I have a lot of feelings about positions because I feel like my body and my mind want very different things from PIV.
Interesting.
When I'm trying to, like, actively get off during PIV, I pretty much need to be on my back in some variation of missionary because that's just, like, the easiest way for me to get off and, like, juggle a vibrator or whatever I'm doing.
I wasn't even thinking of positions I can get off in.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking positions I like to be fucked in, which is different slightly.
Yeah.
Because if I'm gonna get off, like... My brain loves the idea of, like, you know, standing against a wall or something like that, just because I like being pushed against things and having to push back, something to push back against.
Yeah.
But, like, I can't get off standing up.
Yeah, no.
I've done it maybe twice, maybe, but, like, no.
Yeah.
And I need something to, like, hold on to.
Right.
So, like, if I'm bent over, it needs to be, like, a bed, like, that I can, like, lean on and grab, or a table or something.
Yeah.
Something that I can, like, seriously support me, not, like, bent over in the middle of the room. Like, nah, this is some porno shit. I don't do that. I can't do that. I will fall.
Yeah.
I will fall on my face.
I definitely think of standing up sex as being, like, more decorative than functional.
Yeah.
Like, I got fucked in a park a few months ago, and it was, like, it was a very memorable and lovely sexual experience, but I did not get anywhere near getting off because I was bent over in a park. There was just, like, there was no vibes, there was no place to sit down and relax. It was kind of just, like, we were drunk and we were doing it because it seemed like a real fun and hot idea at the time, but it was, like,
yeah.
Clearly nobody's gonna get off from this.
This is... That's the kind of sex you have to say that you had that kind of sex.
Oh, totally, and I've said it many times.
Oh, totally, yeah. Yep.
But, like, the thing about missionary that bums me out, because it's the easiest position for me to get off, like, if a partner's fucking me, they can really get deep in my A-spot, and I can use the vibe at the same time, so it's really easy from a physical standpoint for me to get off that way. But psychologically, I get so freaked out about somebody being right up in my grill like that, like, looking me right in the face. Like, I just get really uncomfortable about, like, oh, do they think my orgasm phases are weird? Do I look sweaty? Do I have, like, a double chin from this angle? Like, I just get really in my head about it. So... pretty much if I'm going to get off from PIV with a partner, I have to, like, feel so comfortable with them. And, like, there's a fuck buddy who I've been fucking on and off for, like, a year, and I have never gotten off during PIV with him because, first of all, he's not that into it, so we don't do it that often. But also, like, I feel very invested in him thinking that I'm hot. And so I don't want to make any not hot faces when his face is right up in my fucking face. So it's like I've just never been able to make that happen. And it's kind of unfortunate. Like, it psychologically would be easier for me to get off in, like, a doggy style kind of thing. But physically, that's like, I don't know. I find it really hard to get off in that position.
Yeah, I don't. See, I don't have any anxiety about, like, them looking at me or whatever, or, like, my face or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, oh, God, should I?
No,
oh,
like, your face is great. I mean, if I could rid myself of this anxiety, I clearly would. Because, like, the feedback I get when I tell most partners about this, it's like, what are you talking about? Your orgasm faces are great. And I'm like, okay, intellectually I know that, but my anxiety brain is an idiot, and so, like...
Yeah, like, I mean, I feel like objectively everyone's orgasm face is great because they're having an orgasm.
Yeah.
And presumably you would like them to do that if your dick is in them. So.
One would think
this
so,
is
yes.
just universally a good thing.
So I feel like PIV a lot of the time is, like, satisfactory or, like, fine but not great. But, like, what's really good PIV for you? Like, what is a 10 out of 10 PIV sesh?
For me, I think it has a lot to do with everything else that's happening during it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I mean, I think this is true for any sort of sex, but also for, but like definitely for PIV. So there has to be, there would have to be some sort of power dynamic, something happening.
Yeah.
And there would have to be a lot of dirty talk. And just like roughness. So with, especially with PIV, I tend to... So, like, you talked about how PIV is kind of traditionally more enjoyable for the penis than the person being penetrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of get off on that.
Yeah, like being used and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I like... feeling like I'm being used and feeling like the person is fucking me in exactly the way they want me to, so like, or they want to be fucking me.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a sentence.
No.
I am distracted.
I gotcha.
And thinking about things. But like the idea of them like roughly grabbing me and putting me in the position they want me,
mm-hmm.
or like moving me in a way that they know will feel good during fucking, or especially like grabbing tightly at me so that I can feel that they're getting off,
mm-hmm.
and I can feel the tension in their body. So if they've got me bent over, like grabbing at my hips and pulling me against them and that sort of thing. So a lot of like physically moving me around and being rough with me and holding me down in different places or whatever. And then just, yeah, the dirty talk that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What really makes it stand out for you?
So, my first serious partner, we got into sort of like a sexual routine after a while. We were together for 3.5 years, so I guess that starts to happen. But it kind of, our routine was him going down on me until I came and then him fucking me. And like occasionally he would not make me come from going down on me, and because we would want me to come while he was fucking me. But I actually prefer it if I come like ideally right before we start to fuck, because then I find I don't have to worry about getting off during the PIV, which can be challenging for me depending on my headspace and the partner I'm with. And when I've just come, that is when my G-spot and my A-spot are, like, super sensitive. And so I can kind of just focus on the sensation without being too goal-oriented or pressuring myself to get off too much. And that's really nice for me, like, especially as someone with anxiety. Like, I kind of feel like the thing that I was supposed to do, quote-unquote, which is getting off, I have done already. So I can kind of just relax into what this feels like. And I just really like that, and that to me is my favorite PIV for sure. I also really like certain dicks have the ability to reach my A spot, which is kind of a rare thing. And like, it seems to always be people who I just would never want to date seriously or for any length of time who just have ideal A spot dicks. Where I'm like, damn it! Like, why were you blessed with this dick that fits in my badge like a lock, like a key in a lock? Like, it's just like very unfair. But there are certain dicks that are just really good at getting up in there and. And, like, yeah, dirty talk for sure. Because I find that some form of dirty talk kind of takes me out of my mind a little bit. So I'm thinking more about what they said rather than what my face looks like. Or what do I sound like right now? Or is this person getting tired of waiting for me to get off? You know, I kind of get out of my head a little bit.
Yeah, that's, like, dirty talk for me. Doesn't necessarily, I mean, it gets me out of my head a little bit, but it's mostly just like, A, I like dirty talk because it makes people make more sex noises, mm-hmm. too. Like, if they're already talking, you can hear their breath catch in between words and stuff. Oof. And you're like, haha, you are enjoying this. I've caught you. but also, I really like dirty talk just because I like that. Like, I like hearing people say filthy shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, like, a good way just for me to know that they're still engaged and know that they're still enjoying it. Like, I like people telling me what feels good or what they like what they're seeing that they're like, that they like, or what they're enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, okay, good, you are enjoying this, you want to be here, right? Yes, right. Good, yes. So that kind of helps with my anxiety a lot, that kind of, like, positive affirmation.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that PIV is one of the sexual acts where it's really easy for me to not be present and to kind of zone out, because I guess it's just, like, repetitive and can be monotonous with the wrong type of partner. And so mm-hmm. anything that helps me stay really present and, like, really in the moment during PIV is really helpful to me. And even just, like, reaching down and putting a hand there so that I can feel the dick going in and out of me can be really good for, like, reorienting myself and being like, oh yeah, I'm having sex right now. Because sometimes I just kind of float off in my head, whether that's because of anxiety or just because I'm, like, unfocused. And so when I can stay focused and present with PIV, it can be really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, do we want to have the dick conversation? Because I feel like PIV is where...
When do we not want to have the dick conversation? Do you know who I am?
Well, I feel like PIV is where 90% of penis size insecurities come in.
Right. Okay. Penis size. Let's talk about it. I do want to say, like, it just depends so much on the person whose vagina it is, whether they care about dick size or not. Like, there's no such thing as a one true answer to this question of whether dick size matters, because it really just depends on the person and even on the day. Sometimes, like, I have days when I could go for something really huge and then days where I just don't give a fuck. But, like, what are your thoughts on dick size as far as PIV goes?
So, okay, so the correct answer is, I don't care. The honest answer is, I like big things in me. But, at the same time, if I like the person I'm fucking, and, like, maybe, like, you know, if their dick isn't huge, there are other things that I can be doing with people. Mm-hmm. Like, I prefer girth over length because I have a cervix.
Mm-hmm. Vaginas are not infinite, people.
They're not. No matter how hard I try.
They are not a wormhole.
But, like, I don't know. I've hooked up with dudes and been like, who have, like, pretty decent average-sized dicks. And I'm like, all right, like, doesn't feel great vaginally. That's a dick that's going to go in my butt then. We can do hand stuff vaginally, or, like, people have hands and mouths and toys mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yeah.
So there's literally so many other options.
Yeah.
If, like, and that said, like, more average-sized dicks or smaller dicks, depending on their shape, might feel great.
Yeah.
Like, the Mustang is on the smaller end of dildos that I use. It's 1.5 inches in diameter, which I usually use the Maverick, which is 2 inches, like, without warm-up. Like, that's my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
So 1.5 is relatively small for things going in my bits, and the curve on that is fantastic
mm-hmm.
and still feels great. Like,
yeah. I agree. Sometimes it is so much more about the curve than the shape. And, like, I was just talking to a fuck buddy yesterday who I said to him something about how I'm not really a size queen. And he's fucked me many times with the double trouble and seen how hard I come with that thing. And he was like, okay, but no dicks can really be the double trouble, though. And I was like, wait, though. The double trouble is really more about the curve than it is about the size. Because,
yeah.
Like, I have the G-spoon, which is smaller and has almost an identical curve, and it hits my A-spot pretty much equally well. The double trouble, the only reason I reach for that more often is because it's a bit longer, and so I have a bit more of a handle. It's easier to control the thrusting. But really, the G-spoon does the same exact thing. And, yeah, it's, for me, it's not necessarily about the size. It's more about the curve. But I will say, like, I do think it's interesting to observe, like, how different people respond to the idea of penis size, because, like, I recently had this one-night stand with this dude who was the biggest dick that I have ever slept with. Or, rather, his dick was the biggest that I have ever slept with. He himself was quite polite and sweet. And I, in telling this story to a few friends of mine, whenever I would tell it to sort of sex-positive friends from this community, they would be like, all right, big dick, cool, whatever. Which is kind of how I felt about it, because we didn't particularly have a great connection or a great rapport or anything. It was okay. But then I told this story to a friend of mine who's less so involved in sex positivity, and she was kind of under the impression when I mentioned his big dick that this would mean that I would want to sleep with him a whole bunch more, and that it was, like, amazing sex. And I had to kind of be like, actually, it really wasn't that great. Like, the dick was great, but, like, that's really just one factor of so many things. And,
yeah,
like, especially since I so rarely get off from PIV, like, and a lot of my enjoyment related to interacting with dicks is blowjob related, and size is just, for me, not really much of a consideration when it comes to BJs. So, I mean, really, if I was to say about a dude he was terrible at finger-fucking me, that's probably one of the worst sexual insults in my arsenal, because if he's not good at finger-fucking me, I'm probably not having a good time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so much more true than anything about dick size. Like, it's just, there's so many workarounds. If your dick is not functionally a good fit with my vag, there's so much other shit we can do.
Yeah. And I think that's also, like, not just dick size, but, like, boner stuff, too.
Right.
Is another thing that comes up with this. Because I think there's a lot of stigma around people with penises where it's like, well, you're not hard, I guess we're not having sex ever now. And it's like, but soft penises are great.
Yeah.
You can still blow them.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers don't get soft. If they do, please check, have that checked out.
WebMD that, like, shit, y'all.
No, WebMD will tell you it's cancer. Then again, it's probably something serious.
It's so true, though. Like, there's always this moment when I start seeing someone regularly, whether they're, like, a fuck buddy or a boyfriend, where at some point there will be a boner issue, and I'm always so interested to see how that pans out, because really how they react to that is going to tell me a lot about their sort of sexual attitude and approach. And if they're the type of dude who, like, they have a boner issue and then they're going to mope for an hour and make me kind of, like, nurse them emotionally back to health and be like, it's fine, it's fine. Like, I get why that's necessary. That's not really fun. There are so many better ways to recover from that. If you have a boner issue, cool. You have a mouth and hands. Nice. I also have a mouth and hands. Let's do some things with all these mouths and hands. Like,
excellent.
I'm really not heartbroken that your dick is not quite hard enough to go inside my vag. Because guess what? There's other cool shit we can do.
Yeah. There's so much other cool shit. And there's sex toys.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few of those.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite kind of moments of realizing something about a new partner are always when, like, they start to have a boner issue and they just recover real quick. And they're like, cool, I'm going to go do this other thing now. And I'm like, yay, I'm so proud of you that you just did that. Like, I completely understand that there is so much stigma wrapped up in boner issues. And there's so many questions of, you know, your virility and your value as a human being if you can't get a boner.
And your your manhood.
Yeah, and I understand that, and I sympathize with that. I just think that is such an opportunity for growth and for, you know, learning how to have sex better in a way that doesn't necessarily have to directly involve your penis. Maybe you'll take a break from using your dick for a while and then go back to it later. Like, it just tells you so much about someone by how they respond to that.
Yeah, when I'm thinking, like, I keep thinking back to when we had that threesome a couple months back, and the guy that was fucking both of us had been fucking both of us for quite a long time.
Yeah.
and because we don't interact when we have threesomes. And, I mean, we chat.
We definitely say things to each other. Sometimes quite funny things, as you might imagine.
We're hilarious to have a threesome with, y'all. It's great. So much fun.
Yep. Would recommend.
But, like, we don't fuck each other.
Right.
So whoever we're fucking winds up doing most of the work, and they're weirdly on board for that.
Yeah, he signed on. We warned him quite a bit in advance. We were like, are you sure you want to do this? And he was like, oh, I can handle it. And he handled it with aplomb.
He did. Yeah, admirably. But towards the end, he was getting tired, and it wasn't even boner problems. It was like, bro, my thighs are burning. Mm-hmm. I cannot move anymore. And he, like, immediately was just like, all right, like, you want to take out a toy or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, cool. And without thinking it through, I grabbed my favorite toy, which is the Maverick, which is bigger than most humans I have had sex with. And he just looked at it and went, what's that? And I was like, this is the Vixkin Maverick. It's fantastic.
Dual density silicone.
Yeah. I did, like, a little product blurb, and he was like, is that going in you? And I was like, uh-huh. And he was like, cool, good, okay. You live your life. And, like, stayed standing between my legs where he was and, like, making out with me and saying shit or whatever while I fucked myself with a toy. And, like, was not bothered at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
10 out of 10, correct way to handle that situation.
There you go. You did it. So proud.
Yeah. But, like, you were having this whole conversation, and I'm thinking back, and I'm like, oh, that could have been, like, a thing he could have felt a way about.
Yeah.
But nope.
Yeah, I will always remember, and it's so sad, because this person is so great, but he just fucked up this one encounter so irrevocably that now this is what I'll think of every time I think of him, is I was fucking this dude. And I had brought a vibe with me because I had anticipated that we might be fucking. And so I was like, oh, I want to get off. Like, I'm just going to grab my vibe. And I love that you made those noises because you know this story.
I know this story because every time you think about fucking this dude, I remind you of this story and you go, oh, yeah.
So I went to get the vibe, and then he went back to fucking me, and I was using the vibe, and he kept stopping and starting and just being weird, and I was like, hey, what's up? And he was like, it feels weird. Like, I don't like how it feels.
The face you just made was of a petulant toddler.
I mean, that was how I felt about it, because I was getting so annoyed with him, because I, personality-wise, I really liked this dude. I feel like we really connected at the time, but I just saw this side of him in this interaction where it was like a petulant child. It was like, I don't like how this is feeling, and I don't really care how it's feeling for you. I don't like it. Stop. And he didn't tell me to stop, but it was very much implied, and I did not feel right continuing. But, you know, if I'm setting aside a vibe during PIV, that's pretty much me saying, okay, I guess I'm not getting off right now, or at all during this session. So I put it down. I was like, fine, it feels weird to you, I won't use it. And he proceeded to continue to fuck me. But it was like, okay, guess my pleasure is not a priority for you. Cool.
Yeah, and like, I don't think it's wrong for him to have like that boundary or whatever. Boundaries are a thing, but like, there are better ways to handle that.
Yeah.
There's a way to be like, you know, maybe it doesn't work for him in that position because the vibe was, like, against the base of his dick in a way. Like, maybe if there was a position where there was more space for the vibe.
Right.
Or if he was like, hey, but, you know, you want to use that while I finger you. Or, hey, but, like, do you want me to use my hands on your clit or whatever? Like,
right. There's so many workarounds.
Literally anything other than like, meh.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. And it, yeah, every time that I've subsequently, like, whenever that dude is coming to town, I feel like I send you a semi-panicked message and I'm like, I think I want to sleep with him. Should I sleep with him? And you're like, but he doesn't like vibes, remember? And I'm like, oh yeah, never mind. Fuck it all. I'm not doing it. Not worth it.
Every time I'm like, oh, well, you can.
If you insist. But it won't be fun. Whereas, like, the dude from the threesome who we're talking about, one time I was having sex with him and I was using my Tango, which is, like, a fairly strong vibe for a rechargeable, and he was finger-fucking me, and he said to me, I don't think this is strong enough. I'm gonna go get your Hitachi. And he is truly a hero. He was like, this vibe isn't big, strong, or loud enough. I will get you a bigger, stronger, and louder one because I want you to come.
That sounds like such a testosterone-fueled decision, though. Like, allow me to go get the power tool of vibrators.
Yes, if you need to have toxic masculinity at anywhere in your psyche, you should channel it into vibrators.
Yes.
That is a place where
let
it can
me
be
get
useful.
The biggest, coolest machine.
Fuck that and fuck yeah is our weekly segment where we tell you something that we're pissed off about and then something that we're enthused about, ideally on theme. And I will start. My fuck that for this week is people who don't check in during sex, and I find this particularly egregious during PIV. When I was in high school, I had this best friend who became sexually active around the same time that I did. And we had this conversation one time, which actually turned into more of an argument than a conversation, where she was like, which is more intimate, PIV or oral? And I said, oh, absolutely oral. I feel way more intimate and way more connected to my partner during that than I do during PIV. And she said the opposite, because, like, for her, like, the faces were close together, the genitals were touching. Like, the PIV was just, like, for her, more emotionally intense. That's fine. That's cool. I just don't really feel that way about it for whatever reason. I don't really know why that is. But I find that it's so much easier for me to start to feel emotionally disconnected from my partner during PIV, like, especially if they're getting really into it pleasure-wise and I feel like they're not really paying attention to my responses and not really checking in with how I'm doing. And there have been a few times where, like, a partner's fucking me and just kind of, like, loses control and loses his sense of where I am and, like, what's going on around him and is just very focused on what he's feeling, which is great in certain contexts, but I don't know. Sometimes I start to have weird feelings after sex like that where I feel like, were you even paying attention to me? Were you just using me? And it's funny because, mm-hmm. like, that's definitely one of my kinks when it's, you know, consensual and when I'm emotionally prepared to feel that way. But to feel that way, that like a person really doesn't care about me rather than just role playing to not really care about me is such a different thing. And I think that that's maybe why I am hesitant to do PIV with everyone, because, like, I only really want to do it with someone I feel really connected to and who I feel really cares about me, because otherwise I start to feel really disconnected and weird about people when they're fucking me and not really paying attention to me while they're fucking me.
Yeah. So you find, like, checking in to be really helpful for that and, like, combating that?
Yeah, just even, like, asking me questions like, how does that feel? Do you like that? Or... I'm normally not that big into eye contact during sex. It usually gives me anxiety, but PIV is a good moment for that, depending on the position, to kind of mm-hmm. remind me that you're in it for my face and my spirit and my soul and not just my holes. I don't know. It can be so easily like a flip that or a switch that flips for me, like from feeling good PIV to kind of feeling used and shitty. And so I do have to feel, like, really confident and secure with someone before I feel ready to have PIV with them. What's your fuck that, Bex?
Mine is kind of a combination of the idea of, like, foreplay and goal-oriented sex. Because I feel like PIV gets kind of this reputation as, like, the goal. So all of the things you do beforehand are to get ready to have PIV, mm-hmm. and then the person comes, ideally both, but if not both, the person with the penis comes, and then you're done.
Right.
And it's like, but there are so many other, like, PIV can be the thing that happens in the middle, and especially, like, I'm also someone who can get off more than once, and, like, my first orgasm more often than not is kind of warm-up, like, is what gets me ready for more penetration and more orgasms and so on and so forth. So for me, even the idea that, like, one person comes, or even the idea that, like, I come and then they come and then it's like, okay, and we're done, and it's like, well, but there are so many other things we could be doing. Like,
yeah.
You could, you know, it doesn't have to be, like, the last thing and everything else leads up to this penultimate sex act.
Yeah, I find that I really like PIV either as, like, an appetizer or as dessert rather than as the main course. Like, as I was saying earlier, yeah. like, I get so sensitive in my internal erogenous zones when I've just come, and so that's, for me, like, my favorite time to get fucked. But I also really like it as, like, if you're in one of those situations where you're so feeling so passionate about a person all of a sudden and you just need to fuck, like, immediately, and then maybe you do PIV to just kind of, like, crystallize that passion, and then maybe once you cool out a little bit, you move to the things that, like, are actually gonna get you off, which for me would usually be, like, finger fucking and then maybe a beach. So yeah. I really, it's so rarely the main course in my sexual encounters, because there are just so many things that I would rather eat more of, to continue with the food metaphor.
So what's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is the Eroscillator. Oof. So for those who don't know, the Eroscillator is an electric vibrator. I actually don't know if vibrator is the right word. It apparently oscillator. Oscillates. Right. It's supposed to be in some way different from vibration. And what they say is that basically, like, a vibrator, like, pounds against your body, whereas an oscillator sort of moves back and forth, like, more like a partner's fingers on your clit, for example, but very, very fast. And it's supposed to not create as much numbness and make it so that you retain your sensitivity, and so everything feels better and you come more easily. The Eroscillator was one of the first toys that I requested when I first began reviewing sex toys way back in 2012. and they sent me their, like, fancier, stronger model earlier this year. So I've been using that upgrade, and it's just one of my favorite toys for using during PIV because it's really long and thin, and so it fits really easily between two bodies. It doesn't feel so, like, obtrusive the way some vibrators do. Like, the Hitachi can feel really big and, like, takes up too much space between bodies. And it's also, like, it's not especially loud compared to something like the Hitachi, and I just find that it integrates really seamlessly into a lot of PIV. And many of my orgasms during PIV over the course of my life has been with the help of the Eroslator, because it's just that combination just, like, really does it for me. I am a fan. What is your fuck yeah?
So my fuck yeah is going to be condoms, which, not just because it's the good sex educator answer, but, like, also go me. Because I thought of it and then was like, wow, that's such a responsible answer. But recently, the most recent time I got fucked was in a semi-public space at a time that had no reason to be, like, sexy times. Like, I wasn't on a date or anything. I was at a platonic thing with a bunch of people. And when the person I was fucking, like, everyone else kind of left, and it was just me and this one other person, and when I went to fuck that person, they pulled a condom out of the front pocket of their jeans. Oof. Which, awesome, good, preparation, whatever. But, like, the idea that at some point during that evening, this person decided, yeah, I'm gonna fuck them tonight. Like, and actually went and got a condom and put it in their pocket and, like, prepared. Mm-hmm. And how long had it been there? Like, had they stuck their hand in their pocket a few times during the day and felt the condom and been like, oh, yeah, that's gonna happen. Like, that's just, the idea that they were actually thinking about it and planned ahead was so hot to me. Mm-hmm. And just the condom kind of represented all of that they actually prepared. And I was like, yeah, all right. This is good. I am here for this.
Yeah, it's funny how there's, like, a narrative sometimes about how safer sex, like, kind of takes the romance or the hotness out of a situation. And I just have not found that to be true. Because, like, condom logistics can be so hot. And, like, one of my favorite moments when I'm boning someone is usually, like, I have a basket next to my bed that's just chock full of condoms. And I like when we're, like, making out and about to get to the fuck times and the person is like, do you have a condom? And I'm like, actually, I have a giant basket of them right here. You can pick your fave. There's an assortment. And it's just such a, like, sweet moment. I don't know. Yeah. I really love that. And I think that it's, like, an expression of enthusiastic consent, because to sort of take that time out for a second and be like, all right, where's the condom? I'm gonna get the condom and I'm gonna put it on and then we're gonna fuck. It's like just another way of, like, reasserting, like, yes, I want to do this, I'm excited to do this, I will prepare to do this. And yeah, it can be a really hot moment in its own right. Okay, thank you so much, folks, for joining us for this episode of the Dildorks. I was going to say we're really excited to talk to you about PIV, but I don't know that that's true. We were a little bit excited.
We decided we were going to talk to you about PIV.
Yeah. We talked to you about PIV, basically.
We did it.
We hope that you enjoyed this episode more than I've enjoyed the probably vast majority of the times that I've had PIV.
Oh,
that's babe. Harsh. That's harsh.
Oh. That's harsh. Yeah, that's harsh. I was gonna try and save it, and I couldn't.
Nope. So my name is Kate Sloan. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram. My username is girly_juice. My blog is girlyjuice.net. And the article that I was talking about earlier about how PIV isn't really a thing anymore for millennials is coming out in this magazine, which is a Canadian magazine. It's supposed to come out in November or December. If you follow me on Twitter, I will definitely tell you all about it when it comes out. Bex, where can folks find your stuff?
I am Bex Talk Sex on Twitter and Instagram. I'm BexTalkSex.com. And yeah, you can find all my stuff there. I'm trying to blog semi-weekly at this point so that my sir doesn't get mad at me. So hopefully you'll be seeing a lot more of me there.
Better living through kink. Our website is thedildorks.com. We are, of course, on iTunes and Stitcher and all of those various places. And our Twitter is at Our Twitter is at thedildorks. And our email address is thedildorks@gmail.com if you want to send us comments, questions, anything along those lines. Thank you so much to Protodome for letting us use his amazing song, I Want You in My Bedroom, as our theme song. I made a composer friend of mine listen to our theme song last night because I had asked him to do our theme song for our show, and it was just too short notice by the time we were launching. And he asked me, so did you ever end up finding a theme song? And I was like, yes, we did, and it's awesome. You need to listen to it. I made him listen to it, and he was like, this is awesome. And I was like, I know. So that's by Protodome. Good. He's at protodome.bandcamp.com. Also, thank you to Amy Gardner for our art. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. Thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye. You are an emotionless robot. How do I fix you?
And then, like, I was upstairs working on some stuff, and I look over, I was like, hey, can I go downstairs for, like, 10 minutes in a little bit? And he's like, what's going on? I said, I have some feelings scheduled for 11:45 that I'd like to take care of. And he was like, you have some feelings scheduled? What? I was like, I've been putting it off, but, like,
it's good.
I have them in a time slot at 11:45. I'd like to go have them. And he was like, sure, yeah, okay.
I scheduled some feelings, too, the other night. It was like, you're really sexy, but I'm just not there right now. I was like, haha, hold that thought. I'm going to go to the washroom real quick. And then I went to the washroom and closed the stall door and was like, like, just had a full-on cry in the brew pub bathroom. And then was like, fuck, gotta get back out there and clean myself up. And then I came back out, and when I sat down, he looked at me, he was like, are you okay? And I was like, shit, I fucked up. I was like, yeah, I'm fine. What are you talking about? Everything's cool. It's all fine. I'm an emotionless robot. Yeah. There's like, a basement in that cafe that's just, like, fucking empty.
Why were you down there?
I had to walk through it to get to the bathroom. But, bone there.
I don't think that's allowed.
I don't know that allowed is really that important of a consideration here. Are you ready to talk about PIV? What is this voice? Fuck. That is what we're talking about today. Fucking. Sometimes you just want someone to stick a peg right into your hole.
Let me take that one more time. Don't do that.
It's told me multiple times that my orgasm sounds are plaintive. Like, which I've looked up the definition. Like, I know that word, but I've looked up the definition to be like, what the fuck? Like, because it basically means, like, sad. You've heard my sex noises a little bit.
Yeah.
Do I sound sad?
No, but also I get it.
Yeah.
I get what he's saying.
Okay.
What were you saying before you were talking about zoning out?
I have no idea. I zoned out. Shit.